Hey everyone, welcome to But Why the Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, we wanted to make sure that you take a minute to rate, review, and subscribe us on iTunes or wherever you listen. It's the easiest way for people to find us and it helps us hear your feedback. Beyond that, come and join our conversation on Twitter at ButWhyThoughPC and on Facebook, facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC. And if you like what you're doing and you want to support us a little more, head on over to Patreon, patreon.com/ButWhyThoughPC. And if a monthly subscription is too much for you, make sure you check out our t-shirts. We have t-shirts open on TeePublic and available for purchase on our website through the merch tab, ButWhyThoughPodcast.com. Enjoy the show. Surprisingly sober for our Archer episode. As always, I'm your host Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And today Matt is going to lead us through why the FX television series is on FXX now.
It's on FXX now.
Double X's.
Unless we want to talk about how bad that decision was.
One X short of a Vin Diesel.
We talking about Vin Diesel today?
No. We're talking about the Checked terrible out. FXX station.
He's going to lead us through why Archer, the FXX original series, or FX original series. What?
It's FX original series.
Okay.
Then they made the dumbass channel of FXX, tried to shift everything over. Half their stuff got canceled because nobody wanted to watch or had the channel.
Did this hurt you?
I hate that stupid channel. Jim, go ask Jim Jeffries what he feels about that channel. He blames that channel for his show getting canceled.
I can see that. But yeah, so we're going to talk about Archer today. I feel like I'm just beating around the bush. We're going to talk about Archer today. Cartoon that is entirely funny, entirely fucked up. And yeah, Matt, take it away.
As always, I guess we have an introduction question that Kate skipped over. And I guess the question would be pretty simple. Have you ever watched Archer? And I guess how much?
I've seen every episode, sometimes twice.
Every episode?
Oh, well, no, not from this new season where, like, it's, like, noir stuff. So, yeah, I've seen everything but, like, season 8. Adrian?
I've seen a few episodes. I mean, I haven't watched it all the way through. I mean, I was going to, but then it got off of Netflix, so I was like, oh, okay, fine, I guess. So, I mean, I've seen a few episodes. I know, like, the premise of the show, but haven't seen all of it.
And so I'm assuming both of you actually enjoy the show or, like...
Yeah, I love it.
Well, I know you do, but as far as Adrian...
Episodes I thought were funny, but, you know, it's... I don't know. I don't like watching stuff, like, in the middle and, like, not getting, like, past joke reference stuff. So I wanted to, like, go back and watch it all again, but... Netflix hates everybody, basically.
Yes.
Everybody that isn't them.
So I've seen everything all the way up to about... I've seen about now half of season 8, everything up to season 8.5, only because there's only 8 episodes in season 8, so it's not that hard to watch half of it. And the only reason I've fallen behind on that is because, as we've mentioned, Netflix removed it, and I've had to watch them on Hulu, and I can't stand that, because what's the point of paying for something if I have to watch commercials?
Yep. That's where I'm at. But I have to, because all the shows I want to watch are on Hulu now.
Pretty much. But I have seen, like, the first 3 seasons or so about, like, 6 times. Because the first 3 or so seasons are amazing. So I guess we'll start off with some brief background and what is Archer. Basically, it started in 2009 and was created by Adam Reed. And it was made after the cancellation of his other Adult Swim shows... of C-Lab 2021 and basically Frisky Dingo, which ran from 2006 to 2008. Did any of you watch either one of those?
I watched C-Lab 2021. and Frisky Dingo just sounds like a great name to name something.
I saw a bunch of Frisky Dingo, you know. It came on pretty late.
Yeah, it was late.
I love both like, don't shows. Fall asleep to, like, Frisky Dingo, basically, or you're going to have weird dreams.
Yes. And so, basically, from those cancellations, he kind of basically made this whole using off of the Frisky Dingo show, which is kind of like the Adult Swim version, messed up version of Archer, with a lot more weirdness, as Adrian said, involved. And uses inspiration between, like, James Bond, Pink Panther, and basically a few other, like, types of shows.
Get Smart. Get Smart.
That was not a listed one that I saw.
Huh. Okay.
But to basically make this basically adult animation, spy comedy, genre, messed up stuff.
Ooh, I said Get Smart. I didn't mean Get Smart. I meant Johnny English, the, like, spoof of James Bond. Like the Brit, it's like a British.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I do not know about that one, depending on when that one came out. Because I know that was actually a while back. I'd say the main two that I saw were basically James Bond and Pink Panther.
Yeah.
And there's one other one, but it was a weird, like, show from France. That I wasn't
sure. Are you saying that we don't recognize the French?
I'm pretty sure when you look it up, I'm pretty sure it was from France, and it was weird. Basically there's been 94 episodes and now 99 seasons. The ninth season just premiered on April 25th of this past year, so obviously it's probably getting, as of this recording, probably about episode 2 or so. And he plans to have it for basically 10 seasons, with the 10th season being the final season. That's how he wants to run it. And this is all basically Adam Reed's, like, brainchild baby. He does pretty much majority of almost everything. Like, even when we looked up some of the writers and stuff, like, they have some other people write episodes, like you see on a lot of these animated shows, but for the most part he's done almost all of them. I think the next one were like maybe 2.
Yeah, that's a labor of love. I mean, but I guess too, like, they're pretty short seasons. It's like, what, between 10 and 13 episodes each?
I think they're 13 for the most part, and then they're 10. I think the first, like, 5 or 6 are 13, and the last few are like 10, and the last past one was 8.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how much they're going to go for 9.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about what he's done before here, or do you have it later on?
Who?
Adam Reed.
I did.
Oh.
Frisky Dingo, C-Lab.
Oh, didn't he also do Bob's Burgers?
No.
No?
No.
I thought you said he did Bob's Burgers.
That's John Benjamin. If he did do Bob's Burgers, I was not aware of that at all.
No, okay, no. I just remember that there's a Bob's Burgers crossover.
Yes, there is a Bob's Burgers crossover.
That's all I was thinking about, because it was so good.
Yeah, I was like, no, there is a...
It was so good.
If you really want to know, he also, I believe, helped Lucy, Daughter of the Devil. That was another Adult Swim TV show.
That one actually sounds familiar.
That one's awesome as well.
Yeah, I could also, like, never... I mean, not that, like, I didn't watch the show, but, like, I could never really get super into it, because I think I saw Bob's Burgers before, like, I started, like, trying to watch episodes of Archer, and all I would see is Bob in Archer.
Yeah.
And then I saw what, like, he really looks like, and then everything just got thrown off from there.
Yeah. I will say this, like, I went a while without watching it, because we go through this thing where, like, we find, like, different, like, comedies to watch when we go to sleep, and so, like, I had been watching Bob's Burgers a whole bunch, and then we went into, like, rewatching Archer, because I think that Netflix put the new season on, and I was like, this is really weird, I'm gonna have to get used to this.
And for those of you who don't know, the reason is because the main voice actor for both of these shows is John Benjamin, who basically voices Sterling Archer in Archer and Bob in Bob's Burgers. And some of the other casts go, because they're actually pretty well-known, I guess. I don't know well-known, but the voice actors, I guess, feel like known to watch them for so long. Judy Greer does Cheryl Tunt.
So she is one of those background people that is in, like, almost every single, like, female-led comedy, but you don't really, like, know her name. Like, if you look up a picture of Judy Greer right now, you're like, oh, crap, I've seen her in everything. She was Paul Rudd's wife in I Love You, Man.
Yes.
There we go. Reference.
Ember Nash, who plays Pam, which is an HR representative, not a very good one, but dang. Alicia Tyler plays Alana Kane. Aisha Tyler.
Yes, Aisha Tyler.
Okay, my bad. Aisha Tyler plays Lana Kane, who's basically Archer's partner.
And my favorite.
And then Chris Parnell plays Cyril Figgis, the accountant. Jessica Walter plays Mallory Archer, basically the head of the entire organization, and also Sterling's mom. Adam Reed, the creator, actually voices Ray Gillette.
Oh, he voices Ray?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And Lucky Yates plays Dr. Krieger, who wasn't actually an extra until basically 2013 when fans voted and they wanted more of him. And that's how he became
an
extra.
They wanted more of the Nazi doctor.
Yeah, which is also funny because Lucky Yates is what he looks like in real life is the model they use for Ray.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So all of their models for all of their people are basically their friends or, as I said, some of the other people in the cast.
Yeah, Aisha Tyler is definitely Lana. Like, if you look up a picture of Aisha Tyler, like, one, I love her, but two, she's definitely Lana. I also want to, like, take a moment to say, because I know as we, when we get into, I probably can do it later, but right now, Archer is a really messed up show, so we're probably going to say a lot of messed up things this episode.
Which we'll get into in kind of the, but why those a little bit.
Isn't Judy Greer an Ant-Man? Why do I feel like she's an Ant-Man?
Is she an Ant-Man?
That I don't know.
Isn't she, like, his, like, ex-wife or whatever?
No, I don't think. She is. Yeah, she is. Yeah, Maggie Lang.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, like just, like, if we list some of the stuff she's been in, like, just from, like, her most well-known, 13 Going on 30, Ant-Man, 27 Dresses.
She's in Jurassic World.
I don't even remember. Oh, she's the mom. And then she also has done a whole bunch of, like, voice work. Good on her. Because it's one of those things, like, I don't know her name, but I definitely know who she is.
I know who she is and who her name is, but you probably need to recognize her, but you just don't realize how much things she's actually been in.
Yeah. No, I had no clue what her name was. She was a nameless blonde woman that I saw in everything.
Yeah. As far as the ratings, it's got an 8. As of now, it has an 8.7 on IMDb, which I believe has actually dropped over the past few seasons. It technically said to be the 78th highest TV-rated TV show that they have, even though it's kind of weird because basically numbers 52 through 79 all have an 8.7, so I don't know how they decide who's 52 and who's 79.
10-way tie.
So, yeah, that's like basically 27 shows that all have the same ratings. I believe it actually topped out at 8.9, if I remember from what I saw correctly, but I think the last few seasons have been pretty... have dropped some of it down. Actually, it's a 91 percentile overall on Rotten Tomatoes, but not really to worry about that, considering they don't really have as many reviews for TV shows.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's 8 reviews. You just got to get 8 out of 8 for 100. As far as awards, this one actually blew my mind, because I knew it was a successful show, because obviously it's about to go for 10 seasons, because it's already, I'm pretty sure, been renewed, because this was a show that was renewed way in advance for a lot of stuff. It's actually won 2 Primetime Emmys, Outstanding Animated Program in 2016, and then Outstanding Creative Achievement in Interactive Media Multi-Platform Storytelling, also in 2016. Been nominated for 5 Emmys, but it won those 2. It actually, last year, it had a chance to be the first back-to-back winner in Outstanding Animated Program in, like, 16 years or so, since, like, The Simpsons did it way long time ago. So it's been pretty recent, surprisingly, for as much as, like, it may kind of seem to fall off the radar. It's also won 10 other awards and other various shows. Probably the big one is the Critic TV Choice Awards. It won Best Animated Series from 2012 through 2016. And then it's been nominated for about 45 other awards. So it's got quite a bit of stuff to its back.
For those keeping track at home, Archer is not on IGN's Top 100 Animated Series.
Huh? Which is weird, considering when I just looked up the newest one from IGN of adult cartoons, which I guess is more specific.
Yeah.
I only look at IGN because I know, like, The Simpsons and, like, Family Guy and stuff are on that top 100 list from, like, the multiple times you referenced.
Yeah.
And given, like, everything that you said, I was like, oh, it has to be on that list. But it's not, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, no.
So I don't know what IGN's doing.
Don't know. It's weird because I looked at a lot of other lists and they made some other, like, higher ranked on some other other lists. But I think it also depends on what, which I'm kind of going to talk about when I got there, of, like, how they rate this cartoon. Because it's technically a cartoon / animated. It's definitely an adult version. So, like, if you're comparing Looney Tunes in this, like...
Yeah.
I also think, like, accessibility is probably another issue. Because, like, Simpsons, Family Guy, American Dad, those are on, like, public, like... Not public TV, but, like, it's basic cable. Like, FX and then FX.
Well, you can use an antenna and get that for free, is essentially.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's basic cable. Whereas you have, like, FX and then FXX when it moved it there. Like, those are channels that you have to pay extra for. So, like, that, like, I could definitely see a pay gap, like, one, kind of affecting how many people can watch it, and then two, like, how many people actually are aware of it. Because I actually think this is one of my favorite, like, adult animated shows.
Yeah. So I know if you look up adult animated, which, like I said, it's different. Obviously, it's not just generic anime, but it is definitely highly rated in one of those categories, which is more specific. But I just kind of looked at that over the... I just didn't really care if it was on a list whether Looney Tunes was better or not. which also brings up to the point, can we talk about John Benjamin and Bob Burgers? Between this and Bob Burgers, John Benjamin's shows have won actually quite a bit of animated stuff. Because actually the stuff that beat Archer from being back-to-back winners was Bob's Burgers.
So he's winning.
Yeah. The weird thing is, like, from what I saw, John Benjamin himself has not really won that many, like, voicing awards. That's or anything else. But his shows... that he's, like, basically the main voice actor has won quite a bit. Like, I know Bob Burgers has won, you know, I think, like, 10 awards or something like that, nominated for another, like, 30 or something. Same with Archer. And then, obviously, I don't know how you go back far enough, but if any of you remember, I think it was, I want to say Recess, but I don't think it's Recess.
Hold on.
Where he played Coach McGurk.
Coach McGurk?
Yeah.
This is enough to go in the thing. I'm looking at this IGN list for, like, adult cartoons. Mm-hmm. IGN is stretching, bro. Why is, like, SpongeBob on this list?
Trust me, I have it all. Go down the notes. I have all that in there. Home movies. That's what it is.
Oh, home movies. Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, no, I think if you look at the... when I get to the successful shows, I go IGN ranked it 7th, and this was came out in this month of this... or in April of this year.
It came out April of this year, and there's, like, they're ranking SpongeBob and stuff like that?
Batman's 4th. The animated series is 4th on the best adult cartoon series.
Let's go. Use what Adrian said to go into this, and then I can cut out the part where you said that.
So. Okay. So, yeah, and basically, and for those of you who remember from a long time ago, Home Movies that ran from 1999 to 2004, where he was Coach McGurk, I believe is his name. So, John Benjamin's done a lot of stuff. Before we get into, really quick, before we get into why those, I'm going to kind of give a quick synopsis. It's only going to be about, like, 4 sentences. But basically, it's a group of people who... basically, the show follows a dysfunctional spy agency called ISIS, the International Secret Intelligence Service, and they attempt to do spy things, but they usually mess it up, and it's usually a disaster. And then, as they branch off into later seasons, they turn into doing other stuff, working for the various CIA and other agencies.
Or selling cocaine because the CIA took all their money.
Yes. So, getting into the but why those real fast, or excuse me, but moving into some of the but why those, because this show, probably the main thing why it matters, and we kind of talked about it, it's been a successful show. I guess to me, if you can make it 10 years on television, I think you're doing something right. Considering nowadays, some shows make it like an episode or two, and they'll just cut you off. You don't even get seasons.
I think especially on like FX too, because like FX seems very like cancel happy.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
I know it's not like the CW where they just renew anything. Where if 10 people are watching it, they're going to renew it. But no, it's definitely, from looking at TV, because I've talked with you about this before, Kate, and I'm not sure about you, Adrian, that I don't watch a lot of TV shows until it gets past at least season one, because I know they cancel stuff so fast.
Yeah. You don't want to be hurt. You're never going to be hurt again.
No, and they leave it on cliffhangers. like I said, it's been nominated, won many awards. We kind of brought this up a touch a little bit up there, but IGN ranked this 7th on their list of best art adult cartoon TV series, and I like this list because it came out in literally April of 2018. This list is weird because it has the 4th is Batman the Animated Series, and there's a few others on the list. I believe, like, Animaniacs is on there.
Yeah, SpongeBob is, like, 14 or something.
Yeah.
Like...
and
okay.
I just don't understand why those are, like, on this list.
Yeah, I don't understand, one, like, those other ones are marketed to kids, and two, like, they literally shove somebody in a cocaine cast and then sell that cast, and she becomes addicted to cocaine and, like, does really crazy shit on it.
Yeah, I think,
like,
I think
but
that
that's
list is,
SpongeBob.
I think the list is a little crazy because, like Boondocks is, like, 23.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Aqua Team Hunger Force is, like, 25. Like,
what?
Shows that are, like, marketed to adults are, like, a lot lower on this list, but, like, Animaniacs is, like, top 10 for them. I think they're just, like, trying to fill their, like, top 25 list. But,
so,
yeah, Archer's definitely, like, high on that list, which is good.
Yeah, so what I did notice about that list is, like, the top 5 or 6 all the way up to, like, Archer is kind of, like, your heavy hitters of, like, Family Guy, South Park, and then The Simpsons and stuff that you would think would be kind of more adult animation.
Yeah.
And then, like, he says, then there's this giant gap after 10, like, in the, all the teens, where it's a bunch of weird shows that I'm like, is this really an adult show? And then you have the back end, like you said, of, I saw that with Aqua Teen Hunger Force was way at the end. I was like, really?
Boondocks should be rated way higher. Yeah, Boondocks is
kind of up there.
Like, the Boondocks is amazing.
Yeah, that list, I mean, I liked it because it was very recent, and it's good to have, like, a recent thing, but it was a weird list in general.
Yeah.
I know we've used Ranker, I believe, Ranker.com and whatnot. It's actually 6 on their list of the highest shows, which actually I like that one a little better because that one takes away a lot of the stuff. Even I think towards the back end, they just fill in.
And they also do it crowdsourced, I think, where like essentially you go there and you like upvote and downvote stuff like Reddit. So like this is like a large sample of people just coming in and rating stuff.
So it is pretty cool doing that.
I do know too, I guess like trying to like talking about successful shows, like I think one of the things that makes this a successful show is that it's aware of itself, and it like even though like most like okay most of these animated series and like adult animated shows, like they're one-offs, like it's not a serialized show with a through narrative and stuff like that, and Archer is, but not only that, like there are, and I think this goes to your point when we first started the episode, Adrian, where you were talking about how like you didn't want to just come in the middle because you'd miss jokes, because Archer is always referencing other pieces from other seasons, and they have like continuous jokes that go on throughout the series, which is probably one of my favorite things. And then like there was, like, a shtick is like, season 5 or 6 where they stopped saying phrasing for, like, stuff that could have been, like, double entendres. And, like, Archer notes that they're not doing that anymore. And so, like, it's really cool. And I think that's one of the things that helps it be successful is, like, I think stuff like that helps you grow a fan base.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one long thing. I think another thing that's been really funny, I believe it was through the first, I think it was 5 seasons or so, every time they drew Archer with no shoes or something, they always showed the scar on the foot where Lana shot him, like in the first season.
Yeah, that's really cool.
How's the, so like from back from our Simpsons episode, hint, hint, if you haven't listened to our Simpsons, so go listen to it with Alex, it is amazing. We talk a lot about, like, it's a successful show because it lasts so long, but the drop-off is pretty high. And other shows like American Dad got better with age. You know, Family Guy gets worse with age. How is it aging?
Well, Matt? For one, I was going to go with probably would move into, like, in the second But Why, though, which I don't know if it leads into, like, the drop-off, or at least I know some of the problems they've had with the last few episodes. But one, basically ISIS, because they were always called ISIS at the beginning, and that was their International Secret Intelligence Service, but then the rise of the actual,
like, I guess, terrorist group.
And so at the start of season 6, they kind of had to drop this name because it became a problem and controversy, and they actually lost a lot of money on a lot of merch, and they had to remove everything because they had, like, ISIS t-shirts, shirts, and everything else.
Yeah.
So they had to remove it. And so going from there, that, and it's also reported in, like, season 5 or so, or 6, they make basically their crazy person, Cheryl, turn into, like, a country singer. And literally, they kind of got bored writing spy shows. Because it used to be, like, you know, Weekly Mission and everything else. And they kind of got bored. And I think between losing, like, you know, they built this ISIS thing for, like, 5 seasons plus.
You know. And then it's like, oh, out the window.
Yeah, so they tried. Yeah, so they tried to do them with the CIA and stuff, but then basically they kind of got bored, and they kind of admitted they got bored of doing that. So these last 2-3 seasons, I believe 6, 7, and 8, they've done some weird. They've kind of had some drop off because it's not like the same show that you watch in the first few seasons. And like this past season, and I think continuing on into 9, where I guess spoiler or whatever, basically Archer's in a coma and you're just following his dreams.
Yeah, and that's really weird. Like, I don't mind season 6.
Yo, that sounds bad.
Yeah. So the last season, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes is like an 88. And so far, the season 9 with only 3 episodes is like at a 59.
Yeah,
right now.
So it's, like, essentially it looks like as it's gone on, one, they had to adapt with that stuff. And two, like, I mean, I'm trying. Like, season 6 isn't bad. And I'm trying really hard not to yell Outlaw Country in, like, a Cheryl voice.
Well,
right,
apparently
now,
it was actually really popular.
It's so
people loved
good.
It.
I love that season.
Yeah, people apparently loved that, but that was the reason they changed, was because they got bored.
But I will say this, I don't remember a lot of season 7. I don't even know if I finished that season, actually, now that
I actually had to go back
it.
And watch the end of season 7 because I realized I didn't actually finish it.
Yeah, so, like, I think to your point, Adrian, or your question, I think that it hasn't, as time has gone on, it's had to adapt and it's gotten kind of worse. But so far as aging with time, personally, I can go back and watch those season one episodes, and I laughed just as hard as I did the first time.
No, the first three seasons are amazing, and they definitely hold up.
Yeah, so, like, this is something you can go back and watch. Like, I guess it came out in 2009, so in my case, 9 years later, and restart the series, and it's still funny.
I want to say, which is hard. I want to use the awards thing, because as I said, like, their first time at back-to-back, and that was 2016 and 2017.
Yeah.
But then again, The Simpsons and them are still actually getting nominated for awards as well.
Yeah.
So, personally, from watching them all, I can tell there's a drop-off, and talking to people that I know that are actually big fans of this as well, they've noticed drop-off, especially from the last few seasons. But there are glimpses, like I said, season, I believe it's six, or even that, well, season six, I believe, with the, when they go work for the CIA selling cocaine, actually, in doing the Outlaw Country thing.
Outlaw Country!
It's actually a pretty good season.
It was so good!
Do you think they'll stop at 10?
I think they will, especially after
you think they'll stop at 10, or do you think FXXXX quadruple X will throw money at them to, like, save their channel?
I think they stop at 10 only because
the ratings aren't good.
I don't know if they're good, but they're definitely dropping off. Obviously, we will see going on through 9 because obviously we have to wait to see it. Just started. But after watching the half of the first of 8, I'm kind of like, it's funny and it has, like, the good jokes and everything, but it just feels weird because it doesn't have, like, the continuous and the continuity that the first, like, 5 or 6 seasons had.
Because I think, like, once you start breaking it up and you don't have it, like, it's hard to keep running jokes when they're in a completely different setting.
Yeah. I think they stop at 10, honestly. Like I said, if they're already bored doing the spy stuff and now they're just kind of having fun with it on the way, I don't know. But
I think they should stop at 10.
Yeah. So, because I wasn't even sure about this, because I had to go back and, like I said, watch the relast of season 7, and that's when I found out that he ended up being in a coma, and then start of season 8, and I was just like, this is funny, but this is, like, I don't like this. So
this isn't what I signed up for.
I think if they do drag it on, I think they will have problems, though. I think you'll see a drop-off if they go past 10.
Yeah.
A severe drop-off.
Yeah, I'm looking on their website, like, FX Network website.
Yeah.
Most of these episodes are Archer, so I'm not sure what they're going to do after Archer leaves.
Yeah, well, they've had problems, at least, I mean, if we want to talk about FXX, I know they had problems. Basically, I believe Archer and I think It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia have basically been carrying that channel. I could be wrong. There's a few other shows that have been pretty well, but...
Is Legion on FXX or FX? Because Legion's actually ridiculously good. It's on Hulu, that's all I know.
I'm not even sure, honestly. I just know when they made the switch, there was quite a few shows that got canceled. And
some show called Mom is on here. Parks and Rec is on here. Raising Hope. I don't know what any of these shows are other than Parks and Rec.
Old-ass comedies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, those are all old comedies, if I remember.
Terminator Genesis, Avengers... The Simpsons, because they're, like, replaying all the episodes, and then, like, Archer is, like, their next block. So I'm not sure what they're going to do when Archer leaves, because, like, it looks like the bulk of their stuff, especially, like, in the nighttime area, is Archer.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're doing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, they're just kind of, I don't know. One, we don't have cable TV, and two, when they made the Switch, it was terrible for a lot of shows, and they started blocking shows, and they're like, oh, the ratings tanked, and everybody started yelling, well, of course they tanked, you put on another stupid channel that nobody either had or wanted.
Try to make people pay for more things, and then it backfired.
Yeah. And just messed with a lot of stuff as well. So probably the main but why, though, and the reason this show probably either resonates or people actually don't really like this show is basically there's a lot of, if you want to call it, personality disorders, character attributions, and there's nothing, at least...
there's nothing redeemable.
Yeah, there's, like... So the main thing, I guess, So one of the main critiques when you read about or turn off for a lot of people that do not like the show is the characters, obviously, are quite vulgar. They're very self-absorbed. They're narcissistic. And pretty much almost all of them are genuinely actually not good people.
Except for Lana, who's perfect.
And it's possibly debatable on that one.
No, Lana is perfect. Lana's the only one who deserves to be there.
And it, to me, this is like why I think this sets apart is because it's like the true definition of adult humor and like in an actual adult cartoon show, kind of like how we were talking about earlier. Because unlike even, I mean, maybe South Park plays a little of this with some of the stuff they do, but for the most part, like The Simpsons, King of the Hill, Family Guy, American Dad, they all have like a family aspect. They have like some goodwill in some shows. They have like maybe some learning moments, you know. Eventually, you know, like people like, oh, I see the bad, that, you know, for 20 minutes, I was actually a bad person. I see I possibly need to change. There's none of that in the show.
Peggy Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like basically they're bad characters. They're bad people. Yeah. And they basically make it through life. And they're rewarded for being bad.
Yeah.
Basically doing the...
I will say this, like, and the funny thing is that there's one person of color on the show, and it's Lana. And it's hilarious because, and I think this is why, like, so, like, first off, you either, kind of like Matt said, you either like or you hate Archer. Either you can deal with that type of humor, or you can't, and you just get angry and shouldn't be watching it, and you think that the show is terrible. But the funny thing is, like, Lana, like, this hardworking black woman who is more capable than everybody else, constantly gets shitted on and, like, gets passed over for everything from, like, Archer, who is, like, what did I say earlier? Typical rich white boy problems. Like, sex addiction and drug habits. And it's hilarious to see because it's kind of like that trope, but also kind of really true. Like, Lana works really hard.
Which you quickly said that Aisha Tyler, like, yeah, loves this role.
And Aisha Tyler loves her role. I forgot to look up some quotes, but, like, Aisha Tyler loves playing Lana. And I think a lot of it, at least for me watching it, and kind of, like, I had, like, this light bulb moment because I was like, damn, that's really what it's like a lot of the times out there.
Yeah, so they do take a lot of the trope, and they do obviously put them to the extreme, as you mentioned. Like, there's a lot of drug abuse. There's a lot of alcohol abuse. There's probably sexism like crazy. There's probably partially racism like crazy.
Yes.
There's definitely, like,
abuse. If the abused. Mexicans can sell cocaine.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely stereotypes. I mean, the boss of Mallory basically calls all of her employees drones.
Yeah.
They definitely hate a lot and of them. Hate poor people. So to go kind of break down some of these characters that we're talking about, we can start with, as you talked about, Lana, who essentially is the black woman, basically is Archer's, like, partner, per se, who's very qualified of stuff. But she obviously gets overlooked all the time. She ends up, I mean, she probably, like you said, probably the only really decent human being, even though she does have flaws. She does basically, like, date Cyril for most of the time, just to spite Archer.
Like, everybody's had, like, a spite date.
Yeah, and basically, she isn't actually very good to him at all.
No, she's mean. She's mean. Like, Cyril, like, worships her, and she's just, like, she wants... It, like, annoys her that he loves her so much.
But, no, they definitely have fun. Yeah, for that. Also, sex is another big thing. Like, basically, as you go through all the season, I'm pretty sure at this point, pretty much everybody's had sex with everybody.
Yes.
Why not?
Especially with Pam.
Yeah. So, essentially, as you keep going, instead of letting me get some of these characteristics out, as we talked about Lana, we'll move to Archer. Basically, he probably has narcissistic personality disorder. He has multiple problems, abandonment issues. He works for his mother. It's very some weird hypersexual things with his mother. You can see
Freudian.
Yeah, very Freudian. Definitely very resentment. You'll see him where he ends up killing a few people on his mission, but then worried because they ripped his turtleneck or something like that. And, like, how are you going to ruin this? He lacked a father figure, which he jumps to anybody who shows father characteristics.
He's freaking Patrick Bateman, but, like, a cartoon character. Like, Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. Like, he cares more about getting blood on his clothes than actually murdering.
Yeah.
He's not, like, that bad, but...
Pretty sure he's a sociopath. He's very misogynistic. Yeah, we could probably just go on with all of that stuff. He goes through these moments of, like, joy, rage. He comes and hid. But he's, like... But he's also your prototypical, like, living out this fantasy in his head or whatever, living out of basically probably half-asses everything, but he does end up being right, and then he probably messes up a lot of stuff. But in the end, he pretty much ends up working out, and everybody hates him for that.
Yeah. I honestly, like, when we were going to do this episode, I was like, what the hell, Archer? And so then I tried to, like, start thinking about it through different lenses, and I was like, Archer is, like, everything that people hate about the concept of, like, privilege. Because he's super rich.
Well, he's not even super, like, rich.
He used to be super rich. Or his mom was super rich.
His mom is super rich.
Okay.
Because he has to go through problems where he has no money.
He comes from wealth, But a lot of the times he has no money because he's like either drank it all away or gave it all to hookers. Yes. Like, it's, yeah. And but at the end of the day, he's completely inept. But somehow, no matter how many people he like screws over, like inadvertently through his ineptitude, he comes out on top. And it's just like, this isn't fair. Like, why?
Yeah, and
especially when he's paired with Lana, who's in his partner in the field all the time, and she's like, I actually read this manual, Archer, what the hell?
Yeah, but then Archer does it perfectly manual, part A to part B, without doing anything, and he probably has no idea how he did it.
And so this is where the old adage of being a person of color, or like a woman of color, is working twice as hard, getting half the recognition. Or in Lana's case, none of the recognition.
And then we move to Mallory, which is basically Archer's mom, and she's basically this overbearing, terrible parent, but then it's, like, distant, so, like, if Archer tries to leave, she's like, how dare you leave your mother? But then if he stays, it's like, gosh, can't you, like, ever leave? Cut the cord. She refers to people with drones, as I said, very manipulative, very abusive, very horrible boss.
She's also extremely sexist.
Yes.
And racist.
Yes.
And homophobic. And any ist or ick you can add on there.
Yeah, so it's weird that all this, like I said, because this is a show we talked about beginning, like, it's either one of those, you're going to go with this, or you're probably going to hate this.
Yeah, like, one episode you kind of, like, strap in for the ride and you get used to it. Like, I don't know, I like that kind of humor. So.
And then you basically lead to, like, Cheryl, which is basically, I don't even know what she is, like, receptionist? Which they kind of start doing a
secretary?
Something like that, but she ends up going crazy half the time. She's basically a sex addict. You find out that she's super rich and, like, the richest out of all of them.
She is the daughter of a railroad tycoon.
Yeah. She really hates
common... Granddaughter of railroad tycoon.
She really hates common people and poor people. She has pretty much no concept of anything. It's... Yeah. Changes her name. Just kind of does whatever she wants. It's like I said, basically they change her to the country star because basically you realize they have this billionaire tycoon person daughter who just says, I want to be a country star and decides, I'm going to do this. They keep her around because Mallory's obsessed with money.
Yeah.
Which leads to Ray, who basically is their gay intelligence specialist in bomb defusal. He also ends up disabled. And he basically gets mocked consistently throughout the entire show over all of this.
I also want to point out, too, like, the reason why we're starting with, like, either their gender or their race or their orientation is because, literally, like Matt said, it takes tropes. And it runs with them, and, like, everybody else in the show, like, refers to these things first.
Yes.
So, just wanna...
For the most part, he does seem like a pretty decent guy, even though he has definitely a lot of, like, disregard for his coworkers, but, of course, they are pretty much...
He has disregard for them because he works his ass off.
Well, I wasn't saying there wasn't a reason for that.
Like, him and Lana have the most reasons to be angry at everybody.
Yeah. Even though they do have a weird thing where, because apparently he does like going, he definitely like very flamboyant, they let you know with that trope, but apparently he does end up like sexually assaulting, basically an overdose to Archer.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much like the only downside where they show this in there. Or maybe not show it, but they talk about it.
Yeah, happen. Like that was a trope I think they leaned a little, like not a trope, yeah. That's not even a trope, that's like literally like... the basis for a lot of people like being homophobic. And so I think that's the one. There are a couple of things that I can say were questionable choices.
Yeah, that's
probably
one that's really
questionable. Like that was one where it's kind of like you really didn't have to go that far.
We didn't have help because our next contestant of Pam, who's at one point HR,
oh,
also
God.
Did the exact same thing. Basically, they took turns.
Yeah.
And she basically is like, what's a street fighter one time?
She's kind of insane. She was a cage fighter.
Yeah.
And she has like these cage, was they like, she has like a giant back tattoo with, is it like cage fighting rules or like intimidation stuff? It's weird.
Obviously they don't like her, they mock her constantly. She ends up sleeping with pretty much everybody in the cast at some point throughout the seasons,
in spite of everybody on the cast like going like really hard on like the fat jokes and stuff like that. For her, they all end up sleeping with her.
Yes, that's all male and female characters.
Yeah, like there's a scene where I think Lana's like, gosh, I can't believe we had sex with the same person, and then Pam's like, but you had sex with me. And she's like, oh, God. And then Mallory tries to say something. She's like, "You too, Mallory." And she's like, "Oh, God." And it's like this realization that they had all slept together. Yeah, it's funny.
Which then leads to poor Cyril, who's their accountant. He has a lot of dad issues, just trying to help his dad, who ends up being, like, I think, a principal at, like, a nice high school. And so he's, like, trying to, like, always prove himself worthy and stuff. He's very obsessed with Lana, especially when he's, like, dating her. He's kind of stalkerish. He ends up following her around a lot. Very jealous, overbearing. That ends up, like, Lana and him have this thing. I mean, obviously, Lana treats him bad, per se, but he also definitely is one of those people, like...
He's meaty. He's meaty as fuck.
Yeah, he then eventually actually cheats on Lana, and yeah, he also gets treated very bad. But you can see as they move up through the hierarchy of this stuff, because even before they had extras who played even below them, they get treated worse, and as you get higher up all the way to Mallory, everybody at some point. Like, Mallory treats everybody like crap. Then anybody below Archer treats like crap.
Yeah.
Anybody below Lana, Lana treats crap.
And Cyril's just kind of, like, really low on the totem pole. But also, I think for Cyril, because I don't see it listed or you didn't mention it, he's also, like, the trope of, like, the emasculated, like, guy with, like, works into, like, the overbearing, like, cold woman trope for Mallory. And so, like, that's why he ends up acting... like Lana with that, because he's like he wants that type of domination from a woman and like that kind of stuff.
So now that you heard all that, everybody's probably wondering, like, why in the hell would you ever watch this show?
It's funny, watch it, it's on Hulu.
So Adrian, after all that, I don't know if you're ready to go see or watch any of this stuff per se.
Yeah, the whole time I'm trying to figure out why y'all watch this show. Especially Kate, because I'm like, he's like,
I'm reading this out loud, I'm kind
of
wondering
person
the same
who
thing.
does none of the work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that we've dragged people on Twitter for the same kind of stuff. Like, is it because it's animated, like, it's okay? Like, I feel like if this is like a actual show, I don't know, like, how well this would do. Because when you first started describing it, I'm like, oh, this kind of sounds like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But then, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, everybody's likable.
No, there's pretty much, like, no. I said, start off with trying to say, like, nobody, like, in this show is genuinely a good person.
And it's one of those things, too, and, like, I know, like, some people listening to this may be trying to find out, or, like, maybe don't like Archer, or, like, a lot of people don't like Archer for, like, a lot of, like, that type of comedy. But I guess for me, like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't, like, there are cringy moments or, like, moments where I'm kind of like, that is stupid. But then I laugh, and I guess it, like, it's kind of like a catharsis because it's not real. And, like, we actually, like, looked up, like, the writer's room and stuff. There are, like, different people, like, in on this. And I think it helps that, like, I don't know, Aisha Tyler loves her character. So
yeah, everybody that I know loves doing this show.
Yeah, and I love Aisha Tyler.
So I could be wrong because I didn't look up every single person, but as far as I know, everybody actually enjoys doing this. And as far as, at least if I remember, I don't know how much that, now lately, but I know Judy Greer said she's had so much fun because it is a show that they do take a lot of weird stuff, and especially with her character, who's pretty much insane.
Yeah.
Just, she's allowed to do open-ended, free, whatever.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, I think one of the things as well is, like, as much as, like, these people are completely terrible human beings, with the exception of Lana, they get punished, like, they get theirs in different episodes all the times. Which is also really cool.
Pretty sure Archer gets shot at least, like, almost every other episode.
Yes. So, yeah. I don't really know how to answer that question. Because, like, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that, like, I call people out for being sexist and racist. And I definitely, like, critique shows that have those things. But I think the difference is, like, if you have a show that's meant to be a reflection of reality and you're doing this... like, that's a lot different than, like, hey, this is supposed to be a hyperbole on stuff. And, like, if you watch the old James Bond movies, they're sexist as hell. Like, that is a reality of, like, that genre. And I think this, going into it as a parody for me, knowing that it's not even a parody, but, like, straight up, like, none, like, this is things taken to that extent. And it's all comedic. Like, I don't know. It makes it easier to watch. Same thing, it's easier to, like, walk into, like, South Park. Or, I guess, like, Family Guy and American Dad to a lesser extent. Because I think those offend, but they don't offend as much.
I think also, like I try to say, like the reason, like with the but why though, of why this is crazy and these characters and this has been so successful is, like in Family Guy, you still have redeeming moments. Like, yeah. Peter learns, Lois will talk, you know. Even in South Park, Kyle will give a speech, or they'll learn something, or redeeming something, and some goodwill, and you just do not ever get that.
Yeah, but they do get punished a lot.
No, they like, get punished they don't get a redeemed, lot.
But they get punished.
Yeah, no, they get punished. I'm not saying that, except Mallory, for some reason, who basically hardly loses anything.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess, too, like, I was thinking about this when Matt was talking about it, and I'm like, in, like, some really fucked up Archer way, like, it's kind of how life is. Like, the people that you need to, like, get taken care of never get taken care of, and, like, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. Adrian, does that answer your question? Is that, like, does that make sense? Like, it's hilarious, and I don't know. Like, I know a lot of people who are like me that watch it too. Like as much as there are people who hate it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I love South Park and stuff like that. Just hearing it come from you, like hearing you say, "Yeah, it's hilarious that she's a woman of color and she gets nothing." It's just really interesting perspective, yeah, so to be like, on. Given the last few days on Twitter,
it's so all. Like, I don't mean it as like it's hilarious that it's happening to her, but it's like it's something that you're very aware of, and they go out of their way to realize that that's happening.
And the good thing, and like Lana this show will definitely basically draws attention to this.
Yeah, she mentions it all the time. Like I laughed. I think Matt was telling me some stuff. I was like, man, Lana always has to deal with this white fuckery, and she's like, and Matt was just like, she says that on the show a lot. I was like, oh yeah, she does. Like she
references it like, oh yeah, the black woman can't do anything.
Yeah, or she'll be like, these fucking crazy white people. Yeah. Why? Every time with these crazy white people. Which I guess for me is like it's self-referential, and like they're aware of that. And her character is very much aware of that. Like, she doesn't just, like, suffer in silence. She also beats the shit out of Archer a few times. Like, Lana does have some wins.
Like, for me personally, none of it sounds like, oh, I don't want to watch that. That sounds like a terrible idea for a TV show. Do you have your pee-pee up while saying that? Like, I'm all about it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, some other people might be like, well, that's been He sexually assaulted a dude on heroin. That sounds rapey. Like, I can understand, like, why people wouldn't
And that's one of the reasons. And, like I said, like, that is something that I think they took too fucking far. Like, there are moments in that show. There aren't a bunch, but there are some moments in that show. Like, that's too far.
The one that I don't like for the moment, cringy, is we didn't really talk about him, but basically there's a guy by the name of Woodhouse who's basically Archer's, like, almost, like, surrogate-type father. Basically, it's Mallory Butler. And it's this butler, but he kind of raised him, whatever. And Archer treats him like the most horrible human being in the world. And you feel bad for the guy all the time. One, we feel bad because, one, the actual voice actor died in the middle of the series in 2015, George Cole, and so they had to replace him. And I think they finally, like, as he did, you saw him less and less. But he ends up having this whole, like, backstory, knowing story of, like, triumph and everything, of fighting the war and doing stuff. And he's just ridiculed as an old man, all this stuff. But they basically end up making him addicted to heroin all the time, where he's just, like, basically a drug addict for, like, the whole, like, season. And that was one thing I didn't really like, how they ended up portraying at the end of his character.
Yeah.
But it is bad, because you do feel bad for, like, what he does, like...
Yeah. There are a lot of, like... And, this show isn't without its critiques, right? Like, I know, like, Bitch Media had been talking about, like, they liked Archer, and they liked Ray, and Ray was their favorite piece of it, and then when Ray did that, they were like, yeah, we're off this train.
So I don't know if they're completely off the train, but they definitely
Ray train, yeah, and they didn't like that, because obviously, like, taking a character like that, and, like, it just, there are some things that they shouldn't lean into as hard, and I think they have a right balance. That was where they didn't have that.
So they have a moment, I think overall they do a good job of what they do, and it is, like I said, weirdly, for probably this will be on for 10 years, and is probably one of the probably worst overall shows of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, though, too, like, I think one of the real, because, like, I really like Lana, and it's also because Lana, like, as much as the shit she has to put up with, she, like, one, doesn't put up with it silently, two, pays them back, and three, like, she goes by her own stuff. Like, in season, is it seven, where she has her, no, six, Her baby?
Yes.
Like, Lana straight up says, I want to have a baby, so I'm going to have a baby. And, like, she has this entire arc with that.
Even
and,
though
like,
she basically stole
Archer's... Yeah, she did steal Archer's sperm. That was kind of... that. Yeah. But still, she did it on her own terms.
They are but, intimidated by her as well.
Yeah. Like, everybody, like... people, like... not many people are respected on the show, but I would say that everybody respects Lana. Yeah, I mean, it'd be really interesting.
I don't know about
to
respect, but they're terrified of
her. I think some. I think people generally like respect her.
I know Ray probably does. And Cyril.
Cyril loves her and is scared of her.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
I think Archer, as much as he gives her shit, does respect her. Mallory doesn't, but Mallory doesn't respect anybody who isn't Mallory.
Yes.
So, it's also interesting too because they have women do a lot of this like stuff as well, and it's just it's interesting.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like I said, we kind of their mixture of characters is pretty well.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear like people's opinions on it, but like I mean, yeah,
it's also one of those like when looking at this, as I talked about with the Archer narcissistic personality disorder, a lot of these people are probably borderline insane, sociopaths, like have a lot of disorders, a lot of issues.
Yeah, so like, I wouldn't say insane. I don't think that's right. But
they literally basically the way they talk about at least Cheryl in the later seasons.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
Basically she's gone, and like even I don't even know, and it kind of bugged me what they've done with her character.
Yeah, because like and obviously like. You should never attribute mental illnesses to fictional characters unless a fictional character has it written in. But, like, I know, like, a lot of people have been, like, they kind of, like, use these personality disorders as, like, traits for these people and, like, extend them to,
yeah,
like,
they
the
kind of did that,
it.
And they kind of threw them all together in one.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, like, just one character had this and the rest kind of had adapt. It was, like, we're going to make
this
in all of our characters.
Yeah, and it's also, too, like, surprisingly, like, as much as they do, like, reference, like, characters losing it or whatever, like, they don't... when it comes to mental illness, they actually don't take shots at that when I'm, like, thinking about it.
No, I mean,
like, they don't at all. Like, they take shots at everything else, but I don't really... like, they may show a character, like, acting crazy and have, like, references to antidepressants and stuff like that. But, like, I don't think the way other things get hit, I don't think they hit that.
No, I was just saying, like, as far as their characteristics and attributes, yeah. That you can see these disorders.
Plus, like, people have written academic papers on Archer... I'll put it in the show notes.
Yes.
That's cool. I'm just curious. You know, I mean, South Park is one of my favorite shows, and I'm pretty sure, like, everything that you've just mentioned has been done on South Park at some point or another, but to, like, little kid cartoon characters. So, like, I'm on the messed up train, yeah. So. But, you know, just for some of our listeners, you might, like, be, like, listening and thinking... what?
Yeah, this is definitely
watching?
Different from anything we've covered.
But I think this is not a show that I would have.
But no, watch, but no, but
yeah, it's probably usually six. Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah. But you know, I just wanted to ask. Cause I know that you would like you two would explain it well. That's the only reason why I wanted you guys to go in a little bit more depth of like, yeah. You know, tackling like those issues. But okay. I think y'all did it very
plus
well.
Plus,
so.
You are right. It is kind of weird for me to like something like this.
Well, that's when they asked about doing the show, and I was looking up, and I was like, besides being awards and a successful show, what is it out? And I was just like, because literally, there's no redeeming qualities to any of these characters, really.
There's no reason for you to like this show.
Yeah, like, and really, when you read it out loud, there's no reason for you to like this, but people love this show.
Yeah. And I'm actually probably going to do an Archer rewatch after this now.
So I guess some little fun facts about this. As we're moving on, before we get to, I guess, our final thoughts on everything, basically there's been three books written about this show. How to Archer, The Ultimate Guide to Espionage and Style and Women and Also Cocktails Ever Written. Basically a fictional how-to guide, The Daily Life of Sterling Archer. There's Archers and Bob Burgers, The Untold History of Television. Basically, because, like I said, a lot of these, they actually do a crossover episode with this because Archer basically kind of loses his mind after kind of like PTSD. And he kind of just goes and says, I'm going to go live this other life.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Something really, really crazy happens. And then he ends up, the crossover episode, he ends up just assuming the personality of Bob Belcher? Yeah, Bob Belcher.
They brought the entire cast and they play it all out except with Archer animation.
Yeah.
Sterling playing a thing.
It's weird.
It's, I think, pretty well done. But they,
it's
I think
well
they,
done, but it's
I think
weird.
They did it with, like, a dissociative figure... something like that, where basically he had basically like a PTSD episode and whatnot. He just basically couldn't handle the trauma that happened, and so he literally decided, I'm making a new life.
Yeah, I don't think it's PTSD. PTSD.
Well, that's why I don't think it's PTSD. I think it's a dissociative
dissociative disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I also just don't want to throw PTSD around.
Well, I'm not trying to throw it around, but it is something they talk about with trauma, with especially with Archer and a lot of the stuff between the deaths or the fathers, and they do with this episode of how they end up with some of these weird things.
Okay.
The arc of Archer, obviously, is just talking about the shows and the creative concepts, development, cast, interviews, scripts, and whatnot. One of the other things that's a cool little story, I'm not sure if she's still a writer, but she was for at least a few years, Tesha Kondrat, I believe. Anyways, back in, I think, 2012, they did like a, they did a little, the two producers, Matt Thompson and the creator, Adam Reed, kind of went and had this like comp by put on by the professor. They kind of like were taking scripts, you know, trying to just find people, kind of one of those like, hey, we're looking for people to do stuff, submit a script and, you know, possibly get hired. And she was working in Alaska at the time on summer break doing salmon processing, in which the assistant professor helped get her script to Matt Thompson. And Matt Thompson said, this was like the best script I ever wrote. And then they spent the entire summer trying to get in contact with each other, because basically where she lived at in Alaska had no cell phone service. And so then she finally was called her family by the, like, the end of the summer, like, hey, and they're reading emails, and they told her about this stuff, and he's like, oh, yeah. And she finally was able to get in contact with him, and he was like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I just kind of, my job kind of ended over at the plant, and I kind of just lost my job or something like that. And he basically hired her on the spot. And she ended up being a writer, as a writer's assistant for a while. I'm not sure if she's still on that show, but it was a cool little thing of, like, basically she was a student, and all of a sudden she ended up with a job. Every episode has a sound of ice cubes clinking on glass. Basically reference how much alcohol abuse is that. Basically, Archer basically drinks and drunk probably 99% of the entire show. The magazines of the characters read are often references for later episodes or plot lines for upcoming episodes in the season. So when they're reading stuff like in the lounge and whatnot. And I feel like this has to be mentioned because it's almost become not synonymous but pretty close with the song Danger Zone. Basically plays a giant role, as it's basically Archer's favorite song, and he sings it to Lana all the time.
It does. It's funny, and you'd always tell stuff's going to go down.
If you don't know Danger Zone, you should know it and learn it.
Yeah.
But those are a few fun facts.
Yeah. So, like, I pulled up some Aisha Tyler quote, and she says, one thing we do really well on Archer, and one thing I've always tried to do in my comedy and my writing and my podcast, is to never speak down to my audience. Which is really good, because there's not a lot of, like, over-explanation in stuff, and it's really cool. And really well done that way. Hold on. So, like, I think, too, like, there, I can include in the show notes, but there's actually, like, an audio, like, interview that Aisha Tyler gave, where she talks about, like, the specific feminism of her character on Archer, like, in spite of all the stuff around her. So I'll put that in the show notes for you to listen to. It's pretty cool. I've heard it before. She's also really geeky. Like, I kind of want to turn this into an Aisha Tyler episode because I love her. But, you know.
Now, she was an environmentalist actually protesting when Mallory found it, and then Mallory scared everybody away except Lana. And then basically, Mallory
goes, right.
You want a job?
Yeah, because, like, Mallory tries to intimidate Lana so much, and Lana does not budge.
And so she just offered her a job. Did you want to be a spy? And she's like, okay, I don't got a job. Okay, so that's about all I have. Pretty short and sweet. Definitely one of those hit or miss shows. I guess for final thoughts going on, I guess we'll start with, I guess, Adrian.
I enjoy learning more about these messed up characters. Nothing you said has dissuaded from me wanting to go back and watch it, and it's probably got bumped up on my queue of things to watch.
The first three seasons are amazing of this show.
Yeah. I'll probably watch it after I'm done watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine to give me the other aspect of, like, this kind of stuff and have everyone drunk in it.
Yeah.
I'm all about it. I mean, I like the creators of the show. Like I said, like, I watched, like, some of his earlier stuff, so I kind of know what I'm getting going into it. I just haven't had the chance to kind of go back and watch all of it. Maybe I'll watch, like, season 9's over and then kind of go all the way through. But definitely interested in watching it. And your rundown of the characters and kind of, like, even talking about, you know, they are bad characters, but some of their... I mean, it's, like, meta comedy, right? So I guess, like, they're supposed to be like that, so you do think about the stuff like in this meta way. So I'm about it.
I will say this, Adrian, you'll definitely benefit from rewatching it from the beginning all the way through, just because like those ongoing jokes are great.
Yeah, you know me. I love things in long syndication and prior references and stuff like that. So that's why I'm like, I wanted to get that joke too. I want to be in the crowd.
I guess for me, like, one of the things that I guess to kind of go off that, to say a more eloquent response to Adrian's question he asked me earlier, I think the really great thing here is you have really terrible characters, really fucked up people doing really fucked up things, saying terrible things. And I think it's funny because the show never once, like, glorifies them or makes it seem like it's the right decision or good to do. Like, if anything, it's kind of like this giant piece of making fun of one, those personality types, and pointing out how absurd a lot of that, those lines of thinking are. So, like, I think that that's probably, like, my more eloquent answer to that without me just rambling. And I love Lana Kane. I love Aisha Tyler. Aisha Tyler loves Lana Kane. So I am definitely on the Archer train. Although I don't remember season 7 that much, and I probably need to watch season 8. But at least seasons 1 through 6 are really great. Outlaw Country!
Season 7, not that good.
No? Okay.
No. I did not think it was that good.
Look up Outlaw Country on YouTube. Just do it.
Also great. I think this show's fascinating, as you said, because thing one being how it's worked and put together, and there are no redeeming, like I've tried to say, no redeeming qualities, no thing. And like you did say, that kind of really think about is that never in any way is it glorified for what they get or done. Like, oh, you're a bad person. They don't glorify that. They literally punish them the whole time, and they just keep moving on. And things happen, and they are, you know, quote unquote successful what they do, but no way does it ever state like you should do things this way.
Yeah.
I like to think of it as, when I think about this, I could be wrong, but I used to watch a ton of Adult Swim, and obviously Adam Reed wrote quite a few shows and worked on a lot of stuff with Adult Swim, and I feel like this is one of the one concepts in Adult Swim shows that actually turned into an actual show, other than 15 minutes, that made it to, like, cable television.
Yeah.
Because you see all those other ones. Yeah. So, I hope they kind of do see what they do. I'll end up watching, obviously, all of it. I think the first 3 seasons are amazing, some of the best that I've seen in a lot of TV shows. I rewatch all the time if it weren't for Netflix. It's something to check out. Either you're going to really enjoy this show, or you're probably really going to hate it.
Give it a try. Watch an episode. It's on Hulu.
I think it's designed to offend people, and it is the very thing. And either you're going to move on with it and have a time with it and understand it, or you're just not going to want it. But it is what it is.
Like, I know that people don't like the whole, but they hate everybody things. Like, I know a lot of people, and people do genuinely do use it as a cop-out for being racist dicks. But I think that there's something with Archer where it is very egalitarian in what they're doing. But I think at the end of the day, it's the person, like, what's being made fun of isn't they're not punching down because a person being targeted isn't, like, the Mexicans that Mallory is talking about. It's actually Mallory because you know how much of a crap person she is. I'm gonna go rewatch the show.
Let's get us out of here.
Okay, everybody, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow us on social media at ButWhyThoughPC on Twitter and Facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC. We're also Twitch affiliates now, and we are streaming pretty much almost every day of the week. We are also we're also fundraising for StackUp.org right now, military gaming charity. You can get access to that on Tiltify. And I've been posting about it forever, so check our Twitter feeds, come watch us stream, come donate money to a great cause and to a great charity that helps veterans through the power of gaming. We'll be doing that all of May. You can find me at OhMyMythRandir on Twitter and for doggy pictures, Instagram. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93.
Matt?
You knew this was going. You can find me in the danger zone. It was going to happen.
I know.
Wes, I actually do have him on an episode that he tries to play this tribute to Lana, and she has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And he actually thinks he's a stalker and tries to kill Archer. But it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because I identify with Lana a lot. I think that's also why I like it. Okay.